I remember very well the first day I started school. It was on my fourth birthday, the 18th of February, 1942. My father took me to school, but they sent me home again. It wasn't the start of the term. And I was so disappointed. I couldn't wait to go to school.
How lovely.
And I remember when the day I did start, it was pouring with rain, and there was the policeman's daughter, who lived a few doors away, was going to take me. And I was jumping up and down on the doorstep, and I had a pixie hood on, a waterproof pixie hood, I remember, green. And I just couldn't wait for her to come. But very quickly, I was going to school on my own from 4 years old.
Where did you live at that time?
Just down the road here, about four doors down.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, my parents' house is about four doors down, and my father had a shop across the road. Right. In fact, the address on my birth certificate is across the road. Ah. I was a bit of a loner, I suppose. I didn't make good friends easily, but I did love school, and I did love all the subjects, didn't matter what it was. I wasn't any good at maths, like a lot. Words were my thing, writing, and poetry and history and geography. The interesting thing is we had lessons on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. The boys had art. The girls never did any art.
Ah.
On Tuesdays the girls did sewing. Right. On Thursday we did knitting, and on Friday we did craft work. But every time the boys did art, but the girls never did it. We also never had any gym facilities or playground. It was just that little playground in the front of the church school.
Right.
And the girls, we were segregated, of course, because the girls were in the front and the boys were at the back. As we got older and boys got a bit more interesting, we would creep up the side, of course, to talk to the boys. But, yes, and in class we were segregated until we had a new teacher come. Most of the younger teachers, of course, had gone off to war, so they called in the older, retired teachers.
Right.
And there were a Mr. and Mrs. Bradfield.
Ah, yes. Right.
And Mrs. Things. Bradfield was my teacher, and I found her absolutely brilliant. She was very strict, and a lot of the children didn't like her at all, but she suited me.
Mm.
I liked her style of teaching, and I learnt so much from her. We did so much with her. She did the singing. We had a little choir. She did hygiene with us and taught us about our bodies, as well as all the normal subjects of history and geography, writing. I remember drawing maps. I remember particularly drawing a map of the Holy Land, and I can still draw that from memory.
Did you, was that part of geography or part of some sort of religious education or?
Well, as I remember her telling me, all subjects overlap.
Right, yes.
And of course it was a church school.
Yes.
So we used to have the vicar come every Wednesday morning and he would spend the whole morning on religious things. But again, a lot of people didn't like him. He was a very brusque, Victorian type of man.
Right.
But he used to tell such interesting stories.
Yes.
He was in the First World War and he was in the Holy Land and he used to tell us such stories about it. And I used to love his mornings when he came.
Right.
Of course, we did a lot of church services and we had religious instruction every morning. The pattern was you went to school, we'd have assembly and hymns and prayers and then a religious lesson. And then followed by maths, then a play break, and then after the break we would do history or geography or writing.
Mm.
And I used to get into trouble with reading in particular. I could read before I went to school.
Right.
And of course a lot of the children didn't. And when we have a book, you know, and they'd say, well, read so much, I would be reading pages ahead, and when it came my turn to read, I could never do it because I never knew where they were.
Didn't know where you were because you've gone on ahead.
Yes,
it still happens now in English lessons, I can assure you. Lovely. Do you remember the actual process of learning to write? Did you, or had you been doing a little bit of writing before you went to school?
No, this teacher. Well, yes, I could never remember. I never remember not being able to read or write.
Right.
but I didn't do joined up writing, as they called it, mm. cursive writing, yes. Until this lady, Mrs. Bradfield, right. came. And I remember very easily how she taught us to write. We had to do rows and rows of yes. pot hooks.
Yes.
To make it nice and smooth and curvy.
With ink pens?
Oh, yes, with dip pens.
So you have ink little pens, pot in your
ink,
desk.
Ink wells yeah. with dip pens, and I loved writing with those. Like you, I'm left-handed.
Ah, did you smudge it?
Well, of course you do, don't you?
Yes.
You make a terrible mess. Loved it. We'd only done printing until then, and we had to do... The pages were specially lined. Mm. So that you did so much above the line and so much below the line.
Yes.
The you know
yes.
the loops would be above yes. the line and below the line for various letters. And I very much enjoyed learning that. Mm. My mother was a particularly good writer. She did almost copperplate writing, mm. and I aspired to write like her, but I never achieved it. But I do like the cursive writing very much. Mm. My daughter's also copied me in that. In fact, she got into trouble at school because she wrote that like it.
Ah.
One day the teacher said he didn't like her writing. I said, well, what's wrong with it? It's perfectly clear and legible, very nice. Yes, but it's not like everyone else's, he said. And I said, well, it's better than that writing there, pointing to a piece on the desk. That's mine, he said.
Fantastic.
But anyway, yes, I get on a high horse about a few things.
Yes,
I'm sure. I do like things done the way they're supposed to be done. Our education, actually, because if you remember, it's during the 1940s,
yes.
and it was wartime.
Yes.
So it was a pretty basic education. As I say, the younger teachers had gone away, the older teachers had been brought in, and they weren't quite so interested, I don't think, being called out of retirement.
Yes.
But I must say, this lady teacher that I had was marvellous, and she taught me so many things. The only thing that she didn't master with me was crochet.
Right.
Being left-handed, she found it very difficult
it's
to teach me.
To
and she ended up throwing
yes.
it across the room.
Yes.
My mother did teach me later, and I do a lot of it now.
To work it out for myself. Then.
Well, I did teach myself to do it right-handed because I taught needlework at the school here for 3 years or so before it closed. And I made myself do it right-handed right. so that I could teach
yes.
the others,
yes.
you see.
Yes.
But it was the same with the sewing. I won prizes at school for my sewing.
Oh.
I remember having 5 shillings for a buttonhole.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of money, oh,
sure.
5 shillings.
What did you spend that on, then?
Oh, I don't remember that. Probably cakes from Tom Coombs's cake shop.
Ah, right. Yes, lovely. And so what about the maths, then? What sort of maths did you do that you found difficult?
Well, I hated doing tables, but, of course, I do know now that they are very useful.
Yes, you can't get on with your tables, haven't you?
Yes, the normal arithmetic was all right.
Yeah. Algebra,
addition.
You remember doing,
yes, I remember algebra. Doing. Yes, I did algebra, and I couldn't see the point of it. Mm. You know, I struggled very much with algebra. It wasn't until we started doing trigonometry that it became more interesting.
Right. Yes.
And I loved doing volume, and. Square roots, that kind of thing, you know. But up until then, I hadn't found maths interesting at all.
So were you at the school for the whole of your school
yes.
career? So what age?
Well, I started at 4 years old,
yes.
1942, and yes. I left in 1953
oh.
when I was 15.
Right.
Then I went on to Yeovil College. But I did have difficulty because my father, unfortunately, was one of these men that didn't think women needed to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go to grammar school. And then a double whammy, really. When I was 13 and passed the technical exam to go to Yeovil College,
mm-hmm.
they said, no, we can't take girls, we're only geared up for boys, just at the end of the war, you see.
Oh.
And girls had never done that sort of thing.
Right.
So they weren't geared up for it, so I couldn't go. And I've met other women since, the same thing happened to them. So it wasn't until I started work. And I was very fortunate. The first man I started work with said, yes, I'll take you on, because I knew nothing, really, as long as you'll go to night school.
Oh, I see.
So
right.
I went to Yeovil College for
right.
5 years, 4 nights a week.
To do what did you...
Business studies,
oh,
shorthand
right.
typing, German, English.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, I did a whole lot of things.
So Mrs. Bradfield. Bradfield. You remember, did you have any other teachers there, or were there teachers there you remember for different reasons?
Well, I remember the one that everyone else will remember, Miss Tabor.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But I didn't like her. Oh. Most children adored her.
Right.
But I didn't like her.
Okay. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. She never did anything wrong to me, but there's something I just didn't like her. There was a Mrs. Smith was my next teacher. She was also extremely good. She lived here in Melbourne Port, and I was friendly with her daughter. She married Jack Treasure. I don't know if you've heard of her, Jean Treasure.
No.
Well, anyway, Mrs. Smith was my teacher. She was extremely good. And then I had Mrs. Bradfield afterwards. Mm. And then when I moved up class, I had her husband, Mr. Bradfield. Mm. But he was a very dour man, and he wasn't easy to work with.
Right. Tell me about the corporal punishment then.
Well, I remember the boys did seem to get into trouble more than the girls. Mm. There were one or two wayward girls, but in the main, it would be mainly boys that got into trouble for climbing the trees in the playground when they shouldn't do, or throwing balls out in the road, or fighting with each other. And then they would be brought into the class. And I remember particularly one day, I think it was about four boys. David King was one of them. You've heard of David King? He lives here in Melbourne. And they stood in front of the class, and they had to hold their hands out and be whacked with the cane. And I remember them bursting into tears, and these boys stood there crying, and I started to cry.
Well, I'm not surprised. It must be horrible to see. So what sort of age would you have been at that time?
8, 9.
Mm. That's quite a thing to witness, isn't it? So if you're not used to that sort of thing.
Well, I think you have to remember the mindset of the time.
Mm.
That's the thing, though. You cannot relate it to now. Mm. That was the thing that happened then, and we accepted.
Yes.
That was what would happen if you did something wrong.
Yes.
And personally, I don't think it did too much harm.
Right.
Unless you had a teacher that was particularly violent and did it too hard or too often.
Mm. Or if it was done to boys who were innocent. And
yes, that's right.
Yes.
I do remember you saying that. An incident I had... very bad tonsils, and I was off school 1 year quite a bit with such a bad throat and ears.
Mm.
And when I went back to school, I was reprimanded. I was pulled up in front of the class because of something I'd done wrong. You know, there's those big pillars in the front of the church school.
Yes, yes.
Well, someone had put coloured chalk all over them. And of course, we shouldn't do that.
No, sure.
And they blamed me for doing it. Well, I wasn't even there. I was homesick. But I got into trouble for it, and that's something that stuck with me ever since. I did find out the girl that did it afterwards.
And she didn't own up to it?
She wouldn't own up to it, no. I see her now, and I still think about it when I see her.
I bet you do.
And it's a thing that's always stuck with me. I'll take the blame for something I've done wrong, but to take the blame for something I haven't done, that did incense me.
Yes, I'm not surprised. What about the games that you played? Can you remember any of those? The sorts of
not
things
a lot.
You did with your friends?
Because we didn't have anything, you see.
No.
We did have what they would call sports day once a year.
Right.
We'd go out into Jubilee Field and we would run and jump and skip, and boys would have... Well, the boys had football, but the girls didn't have anything.
So did you not have, like, skipping ropes and things like that?
We had our own skipping ropes on the playground, yes.
Right.
I was never any good at ball games or skipping.
Right. And you say that you didn't make friends particularly easily or quickly, but can you remember particular friends?
Oh, yes,
from your school
yes.
Days?
There was one friend, Rosemary. She's died now, unfortunately. I actually buried her as well, literally.
Oh.
When she died, her daughters said, "We want you to come. We're coming to bring her ashes to Milton Port.
Right.
We want you to come." And we went to the cemetery, and I thought, well, where's the vicar? Where's everything? And they dug a hole in her mother's grave.
Oh.
And I literally tipped her ashes into the hole. So that was quite poignant.
Yes, I'm sure.
But we were quite close. And there was another friend I had here, Edna. Have you heard of Edna Luffman?
No.
Oh.
I'm such a newcomer.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. Yes, well, those two were my particular friends.
Mm.
But I used to get into trouble with the children, unfortunately, because, not just because I'm doing this, but I was quite clever. And the other children seemed to resent it.
Mm.
And I would find, they would say, "God, tell me the answer, tell me what it is, you know, show me how to do it." And, "Oh, you do it yourself, you know."
Yes.
And then, of course, they would ostracise me or beat me up in the playground.
Oh, Mary!
So, yes, I spent quite a bit of time alone because of that.
Were the teachers aware of that?
I don't know that they were. There didn't seem any. No, I don't think you would have thought of complaining. That was just the way things were.
Did you tell your parents about that?
No, don't expect so, no. Just dealt with it.
Children can be so cruel.
They can, yes, it's surprisingly cruel.
What about during the war, obviously there was rationing, did that affect anything that happened at school? Did you have meals at school, or did you used to go home for lunch, or how did what worked there?
Did go home for lunch, because it wasn't far to come.
No.
But I did also stay, there were periods where I stayed at school. And again, I loved school dinners. A lot of the children didn't, but I did. The only meal I didn't like, I remember they served tripe once, and I just could not face that. But everything else I loved.
And did you? Was it in the days when you would be given milk during the mornings?
Oh, yes. I loved that as well. Because it was ice cold, and I loved to have this bottle of ice cold milk.
Lovely.
And there were so many children that wouldn't drink milk, and I used to say, well, let me have yours then.
And
so I probably got very strong bones now because I drank
such
a lot of milk.
So apart from the teachers, were there other adults who worked in the school? Or was it just the teachers? Who organised, for example, the meals and the milk? And
oh, there were the dinner ladies that came in for lunch, because the meals were cooked in Wincanton.
Ah, right.
And they would come on a van in huge big containers, sealed containers.
A secondary school?
Yes.
Yes. But
yeah.
Here at the time, then it went from four all the way through to.
Well, it was called standards.
Yes.
We started in the infant standard one, or the infants, and then standard one up to standard seven.
And standard seven, then, is that the equivalent of what we would call year 11 now, or year 10?
I don't know. I don't know how
16.
You do it now.
Did people leave as soon as they were 15, or did they wait until the end of that academic year?
Well, when I went to school first, of course, they were leaving school at 14.
Mm.
And then when I was 14, that was the year, they changed it to 15.
Right.
So I had to stay on another year.
Were you pleased about that at the time?
I didn't mind, I left school.
Right. And these tests that you say you did when you were 13, that would have sent you to Yeovil College had they been able to accommodate you, were they, I suppose, a bit like maybe then the 11 plus became a bit later on?
It was, well, it was
that
almost equivalent to the 11 plus,
right.
Yes.
And do you remember that test?
Yes, I do. I don't remember it being difficult. Now, the 11 plus was different.
Right.
Because I knew my father wasn't going to let me go to grammar school.
Right.
One of my brothers passed 11 plus too, and he also couldn't go. My brother's father wouldn't let him go.
So can you tell me a bit about that then?
I remember being very upset about it.
And what was your father thinking behind that then?
I don't know.
Right.
I think he just had a very old-fashioned upbringing.
Mm.
And it was a throwback to the times when children worked at home. You see, my father had his own business.
Right.
He was a market gardener here.
Right.
And through the war, he was designated to grow food for the area.
Yes.
They wouldn't have him in the services.
Uh-huh. Right.
He had to stay and grow food,
yes,
for the area.
Yes.
He had a quota.
He's like an essential worker.
Yes.
Yes.
So as his children, we were all expected to work in the business, you see.
Right.
So it was a very old-fashioned way. But I can't blame him. I did
well,
at the time.
It's about not judging it by today's.
That's right. I mean, that's it. At the time, I blamed him, of course.
Right.
And it is a chip I've always had on my shoulder that I never had the education I wanted.
Mm.
And I felt I could do.
Yes, yes. And did your brother go into the family business, or did he go?
No,
into
none business? Of them did.
Ah, how many children were there?
I'm the eldest of seven.
Oh, wow! And so, did all of your brothers and sisters go to the same school then after you?
Well, no, I'm quite a bit older than all of them.
Right.
I was 16 by the time my last brother was born.
Right.
So we were a bit spread out. We were like three separate families, really. There
right.
was me. I was six before my first sister came.
Ah, I see.
And then Mum had three girls in a row. Then she went 7 years, and then she had three boys in a row.
Oh, my goodness.
You see, so I was 16 by then.
Wow.
Well, you see, my first sister, I was six before she was born. Well, by the time, I think they raised the school starting age to five. Well, by the time she was five, I was up, what would I have been then? Teenager.
Yes.
You see, so I was in a different era, different group.
Yes, yes.
So in one way, we didn't have a lot to do with each other over schooling. With all the children started school here, of course, but yes. By that time they were splitting the school, and some of my brothers and sisters went to the council school. But I am trying to think of the date. It must have been later than that, because, as I say, I taught at the school for at least 3 years before it closed, and I was a governor there. So I had my girls in my own class.
Ah, right.
So what's they. Well, they didn't think a lot of it.
No, embarrassing to have your mother come into the classroom.
Yes.
And that's when you went in to help with teaching needlework.
Needlework, right. Yes. Yes. Because they'd done away with the needlework. They said, no, we're not doing that anymore. And I said, you're going to have a whole generation of girls, particularly, who won't ever touch a needle. So I said, I'd like to do it. So the headmaster at the time was quite happy for me to do it. I don't know if they'd allow me to do it now. But.
So you didn't do sports as such, but you had sports days or sports
Yes, well, of course, we weren't fit to do anything, really, because we'd never done any.
Right. So there was no structured sort of school sports activities. It was just really those particular
Just the
occasions.
Sports day, yes. I remember my last sports day. I was determined I was going to do something, because I always liked to achieve.
Yes.
And I was determined I was going to do something. And there was the 100 yards race. And I ran and I ran and I ran my heart out.
Uh-huh.
Practically collapsed at the end, and I came in last.
At least you did it.
And I realised then, no, I'm never going to do sports.
Going back to the curriculum, obviously because it was a church school, I would imagine that, you know, Christianity would have been the main sort of focus of any sort of religious education. Did you learn anything about other religions, or was it all very sort of very much focused on Christianity?
Well, no, because we were a Christian country, and the whole of our society is built on Christian ethics.
Yeah.
So, and I do mourn the loss of that, to be honest.
Right.
Because if a country hasn't got a core, we are floundering now because we're in all directions.
Right. So you didn't learn about any other, about Hinduism or Buddhism or anything like that. That was
only in a very peripheral way.
Maybe when you were doing bits of geography.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it would have been in a very minor way. I do remember occasionally children coming to the school that didn't live here. They'd come from abroad.
Right.
And I remember we were always be terribly interested in these strange children who weren't like us, you know, different colour, different religions, different educations.
Yeah.
And I remember the teacher used to have a special session, and she would say, this is Jane, who's come from Sri Lanka or whatever, and she lives like this, and she does this, and she eats that, and, you know, we used to be so fascinated with
it. Yes, I'm sure, would have seemed very exotic to you.
Yes, yes.
And in terms of literature, what can you remember about the types of books you read in school, or the poetry you learned? Because Brian can remember a little bit of a poem.
Yes, ones, I expect.
Yes.
I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. Goblin Market was a big favourite of mine, but that's terribly long.
Right.
Christina Rossetti.
Yes, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've got the whole book here. It's a very long poem, but I love that.
And you obviously were you expected to learn poetry by heart?
Yes.
So that's why Brian can remember these four lines from that poem. And what about other books that you read? Did the teacher, for example, read to you, or did you have books that you read together, like a class reader?
Yes, I used to love it. When we had our knitting, when we were sat knitting, the teacher would read to us.
Oh, right.
And I could never wait for the next week, for the next chapter.
And can you remember what that she would read to you?
No, I can't, to be honest. No. No, we had a school library,
right?
And because I'm an avid reader, still am.
I can see.
Yes. Books everywhere.
Yes, lovely.
And I wanted to be the school librarian, and I used to read every book I could lay my hands on.
Right.
So I would read anything. Obviously, at that time, you would have had the children's books like the Enid Blyton books.
Yes.
I remember Thunderhead. My friend Flicker, stories about horses.
Yes. And do you remember when you first came across sort of classic English literature? Do you remember reading?
Well, we did
like
some Shakespeare.
Oh, you did, right.
And a bit of Dickens.
Right.
Yes. Yes, I quite like the Dickens. I wasn't so keen on Shakespeare at the time, but I've learned more about it and I do like it now.
Right.
But yes, Dickens were interesting.
So that was the sort of literary sort of side of things. And then obviously creative writing, imaginative writing.
Oh yes, I love that as well. I used to write pages, whereas most children would do one page and that was their essay.
Yes.
Mine were 4 or 5 pages.
Yes.
You know, I've still got books here with it in. Well, being wartime, that was the norm for me. I thought that was how things were.
Yes.
It was quite normal for me not to have street lights and no lights on the vehicles. And we were told not to talk. And there were no signposts.
Ah.
You know, it was very secret and quiet and you didn't talk to people.
Very
Except I was very extrovert then. And I would talk to anybody and I used to go off a lot. And my mother used to have to close the shop and come looking for me because she'd find me up in the woods up East Hill or down Goat Hill or somewhere. Yes,
you're quite adventurous then.
Yes, I was.
Oh.
Yes. That changed a bit later, but I was. It's when I was young. But I remember we always had to carry our gas masks and our earplugs.
Right.
I hated the earplugs. Didn't like stuck in my ear. But I mean, I loved my first... gas mask box because Mum had put some transfers on it and I had bunches of grapes and flowers all around my box.
Oh.
And I loved that, but we always had to carry it with us. And I remember coming home from school one day, walking down that road from the church school, which is quite narrow, and one boy, Les Tizard, down at the farm, he was walking in front of me with his gas mask on his arm, and as a car came by, the door handle caught his gas mask and dragged him right up to Sampson's Hill.
Oh,
and he was quite badly injured.
I bet. Oh, horrible.
And he always limped ever after.
Oh,
if
that
you
must
don't
have been quite traumatic to
yes,
see
it was,
that happening
yes.
as well as for him.
Yes, it was.
Another
thing, when the siren would go, of course we would all have to dive under our desks.
Talk about that, you know, just sort of rehearsals, if you like, or for when things actually...
No, this when the sirens did go here.
Right. So, and do you remember hearing planes? Or
yes.
You do. They used to come over.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, and I remember seeing the barrage balloons. When we knew when the barrage balloons went up, that there was a raid coming.
Right. Because Sherborne was...
Well, that was accidental in Sherborne.
Oh, was it?
Mm. The planes were making for Bristol.
Ah, right.
And so, I think they got attacked by our troops,
by British
or our forces.
Right.
So in their escape, they just dropped their bombs and it happened to fall all over Sherborne.
Right. So what do you remember about what your understanding was of the war? Or was it just and you didn't really sort of question it? It was just sort of everything that you knew?
I think this is one of the reasons that my memories are so vivid.
Right.
It was such an intense time in our history.
Yes.
And yes, I was very aware how dangerous it was.
Right. And did you understand about the events that had led up to it, or about Nazi Germany? I didn't know
the lead up to it at that time. I've learnt it since, of course. But I did know we were at war with Germany.
Right.
And I did know that we were very close to being invaded here.
Right.
It was they nearly got in over here.
Yes.
I remember my mother being very scared.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think she transmitted that to me, particularly because I didn't have brothers and sisters then, you see.
Sure. Yes.
I particularly remember when they, and again, if I was home and there was an air raid and the siren went in the night, Mum would drag me out of bed and push me under the table. She had a mattress under the table, quite a big dining table. And I used to say to her, Mum, why are you putting me under the table? If a bomb drops, it's not going to make any difference. But we lived in a thatched cottage just down the road.
Yes.
And she used to say, no, but if there's a blast, the ceiling comes down, you'll be protected under the table.
Yes.
And she was terrified of the thatch coming down because it would be full of spiders. But I remember the King boys lived opposite me. And I vividly remember one night there was an air raid and Mum had dragged me out and I was under the table We had an evacuee girl with us too, but she slept through it all. It didn't bother her. She'd been in London, so it was tame down here.
Yes.
But the two boys across the road, they were outside their front door in their pyjamas with toy tin hats on and toy guns. They were outside guarding their house.
Oh. But at school then, you obviously had to get under the desks in
yes.
your...
And we had big black curtains, you know, blackout
right,
curtains.
Yes.
If we ever had to put lights on at school, the curtains would have to be drawn because
right.
you couldn't show a light anywhere.
No.
And after the war, when they took those big black curtains down, we used them in our sewing class. And again, I do have a piece that I made. I made a knitting bag with embroidery on it, this
right.
black material with coloured embroidery on it.
Right.
We were very lucky to get hold of, I think
yes.
this Mrs. Bradfield had managed to save some pre-war.
Yes.
But we had saucers and we did a chalk circle.
Yes.
And then we would embroider daisy lazy flowers all round,
yes.
all as many colours as we could muster
yes. Yes.
on this black material. We also made shorts that we did wear for. We did have, I don't know what they called it, PE, I suppose.
Yes.
And we would have rush mats and we would do bunny hops and head over heels and that kind
right,
of thing.
Yes.
And we made black shorts to wear for that,
right.
from these curtains.
She sounds very resourceful, this Mrs. Bradford.
She was fantastic.
Talking of resources, what sort of resources did the school have? I mean, were they able to provide you with, you know, pens and ink and books, or did you have to provide your own?
No. No, they did
have,
provide our books.
So they provided most of the books.
Yeah, but you had to be very careful with them. If you were issued with a new book at the
yes.
beginning of term, that was supposed to last you the whole term.
Right. An exercise book to write in,
yes.
you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did yeah. you do then? If you were writing pages and pages, when did you
I
finish
used to
your
write
books
pages.
Early?
Yeah.
So...
But again, the sewing was fantastic for me. Again,
yeah.
I've got a book here that I made for my, and all my sample bits of sewing are in it. I'll find that out for you as well. I didn't think of that.
Because I can take pictures of all of these things, of course, and put them in the
Well,
museum.
We were taught all the techniques, you see. We would be taught how to do herringboning, we were taught
yes.
how to do darning,
yes.
we were taught how to do gathering and pleating and make buttonholes and embroidery,
yes.
And all the samples that we did were put in this book.
Yeah.
That's
lovely.
I learned to make patterns as well. What we did, we made... She taught us how to make our own paper patterns.
Right.
And
for dressmaking.
For dressmaking.
Right.
And we did them in miniature. And we had to make clothes from all these miniature patterns for our dolls.
For dolls. Oh,
but they were perfect because they encompassed all the techniques that we'd been
That's
taught.
That's brilliant. Oh,
so, yes, she was very, very good.
When you look... back in general at your school days, it sounds to me they're generally happy memories, even though obviously there were things that made you a little bit unhappy, but generally was it a positive time?
Oh yes, definitely. I've never ever lost this thirst for learning.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like you had, even before you went to school, you probably already had that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were obviously
yes.
a bright little thing and
yes.
you'd learnt to read. Did your parents actually set out to teach you to read, or was it just that you absorbed things around you, you picked things up, you had curiosity? Which was it?
I expect it was a combination.
Right.
Yes, my mother did teach me a lot.
Right.
She was very good. My father taught me a lot as well, despite the type of person he was. The market garden. I learnt a lot in the garden, and he taught me in the greenhouse a lot.
It sounds like your mother was a very capable person.
She was.
She had a large family.
She never really used her whole potential.
Right.
No,
yes. And it sounds like that to me. And you're obviously quite conscious of that yourself, in that
yes.
you felt that you had never had the formal education that you could.
I longed to do languages.
Right.
In fact, the Venn House had a school evacuated there.
Yes.
It was a public
yes.
school.
Yes.
And one of the teachers was billeted with us for a while. And she was a language teacher.
Right.
And she started teaching my mother German.
Right.
Which, I guess, was a bit in for dig in the war.
Yes.
My father hated it.
Yes.
But I was fascinated.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I did start learning German then. I was only about 4 years old.
Right.
And I've got a book here, again, the first book that I read in German, and it's written in the old German.
Right.
not to normal print like you get now. You expect you've seen the Gothic type print.
Yes, yes.
And I can still read that in German.
Yes. So it sounds to me, though, even though you didn't necessarily have that sort of formal education you craved at the time, you have educated yourself in many ways, you know, since then, haven't you?
I've never done what I want to do. I'd love to go to university still.